The scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. We begin reading at Ephesians 5, verse 22. And even before we begin the scripture reading, I think it's profitable to point out what the apostle is doing here in the second half of his letter to the Ephesians. He's emphasizing our walk, how we are to walk as members of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Then Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Chapter 5, verse 2. Walk and walk in love. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then he gives specific instruction regarding the different callings given to members of the body of Christ. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth, notice that word nourisheth, and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So far, we read of God's sacred and infallible word. The text is that last verse that we read, Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's the theme we're using for this series of baptism sermons that we're working through. In this series, we are looking at God's design for the Christian home and God's instructions regarding how we are to labor in the building of covenant homes. We want homes and we want families that are established according to the instruction of God's word. That's where we're going to find God's blessings. So far in this series, we've considered a few important matters. We've considered the institution of marriage and how God designed marriage to work. Then we considered God's calling for husbands and for wives within the marriage bond. And then we looked at the calling God gives us regarding how we are to view children as blessings. And then in the last sermon, we looked at the general calling that parents have to train up their children in the way they should go. With this sermon, we begin looking at the calling God gives specifically to fathers in the raising of their children. That's going to be the focus of the sermon this morning. And then, Lord willing, we'll have one more sermon on God's calling for fathers before we move on to God's calling specifically for mothers. We take as our theme this morning, Blueprints, number 8, the father's calling to nurture his children. The father's calling to nurture his children. And we'll look at three things. First, the high responsibility. Second, the twofold calling. And third, the needed humility. The main part of the text this morning focuses on the calling that fathers have to nurture their children. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but nurture them. Bring them up in the nurture or discipline and admonition of the Lord. We're going to look at that in the second point of the sermon this morning. But before we even get to that, let's simply take the time and appreciate the fact that the text this morning is focused on fathers and the high responsibility that falls on fathers. It is somewhat peculiar, isn't it, as we read the text? And ye fathers. We're so familiar with this passage, perhaps it doesn't stand out to us, but it doesn't say, and ye parents. And especially after reading verses 1 and 2, we might expect that verse 4 would say, and ye parents. Look at verse 1. Children, obey not just your father, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, not just honor thy father, but honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And after reading those verses, which speaks of fathers and mothers, which speaks of parents, we would expect perhaps verse 4 to say, and ye parents. But again, notice how the verse begins, and ye fathers. This is a special word for fathers. Not only is it specifically for fathers, but bear in mind that this is a letter to the church at Ephesus. And so the word here is for believing fathers, fathers who are in the congregation as this letter is being read to the congregants in the church at Ephesus, fathers sitting under the preaching, fathers hearing the word of God. This word now is for you. What's the significance of that? Well, the significance is this. The text is placing the responsibility for the nurturing and the raising and the bringing up of children in the home squarely on the shoulders of fathers. Not mothers, first of all, but first of all, primarily, fathers. And I think this falls in line very well with the context from what we read in Ephesians chapter 5. If husbands are the head of their wives, and if they are placed in a position of leadership, providing for the good and the care of their wives, then it also follows that that same person, the husband, as the father of the children, is now also given the weight of responsibility for the raising and the training and care of the children. Just as husbands are called to reflect Jesus Christ in their calling towards their wives, caring for their wives, laying down their lives for their wives, just so fathers, husbands now as fathers, are to reflect Jesus Christ in bearing the weight of responsibility for the care and the nurturing of their children. That's part of the calling. That's part of the position that God has given to fathers in the Christian home. Fathers, nurture your children. And not only can we say not mothers first of all, but fathers first of all, but what we can also say is this, not the church first of all either. And not the school, first of all, either. This is not something we simply leave to the church or something we simply leave to our school. But this is a responsibility placed squarely on fathers. Now, surely fathers and wives as one flesh work together in this calling. Fathers certainly join together with other fathers to provide good Christian schools. That's how schools arise, when fathers and mothers hear this call to nurture their children and they join together to provide faithful Christian education for their children. But the point is, this is a word specifically for fathers. The high responsibility for nurturing children falls, according to the text here, the emphasis here is upon fathers. And the question for self-examination is this: do we appreciate that? I think especially for us as men in the congregation, fathers in the congregation, this is a question that we need to face. Is that my attitude as a father? Is that your attitude, fathers in the congregation? How intentional am I in my responsibilities toward my children? How involved am I in their daily life, in their instruction and their correction? How encouraging am I in their life? How encouraging are you in their lives? Or are we perhaps glad to leave that to someone else who maybe is caring for it? Maybe our wives, right? Life is busy. We get up and we go to work weary. We come back home weary. And we're putting effort into many other things, and the time flies by. So maybe we wonder where we're supposed to find the time to carry out this responsibility as well. And besides that, our natures are selfish. And if we can pass off this responsibility onto someone else in the home who will do it so that we can pursue the things that interest us in the moment, that's what our selfish natures are going to do. But this here is a word directly for fathers. And ye fathers. And if this sounds like a heavy burden for fathers, what I would emphasize is that that's exactly the point. Yes, mothers have their calling and their responsibility as well. They too are a parent. They too are in that position of leadership and authority in the home with you. Lord willing, we're going to look at what Scripture says regarding the callings of mothers in the home. But God has given fathers the peculiar gift, the unique gift of masculinity, a peculiar gift so that as fathers, as men, they can bear up under this weight of responsibility, this calling of bearing the responsibility of headship. Fathers, this is for you. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, what also adds here to the peculiar responsibility that fathers have, and what emphasizes the greatness of this responsibility, is this simple fact that fathers are called to be a reflection and a representation of the Heavenly Father, right? When it comes to being a father, what do? We always first look to the Heavenly Father as our model and pattern for a Christian. Fatherhood is recognizing the kind of father that God is to us and then patterning ourselves after that. And what does God do as our Heavenly Father? Well, He does many things, but I think it can be summed up simply with this. God as our Father makes Himself responsible for us as children. His consistent attitude towards us is this: these are my children. And in Jesus Christ, I am their father, and I will provide for them, and I will instruct them, and I will discipline them. I will listen to them. I will fellowship with them. I will never leave them or abandon them or treat them as unimportant. I will love them. Fathers here this morning, to whom this word particularly pertains, isn't that who God is as your own Heavenly Father? And don't you love that about the Lord your God? And if you do know that about the Lord your God as your Father, you will want to reflect that and communicate that glory and that joy in your own fatherly relationship towards your children, reflecting God's fatherly love and kindness towards them. And as a Christian father, made, put into this office, That's your peculiar responsibility. Fathers, just as you have a great comfort and joy in knowing God as your Father, and just as you never grow tired of living as a humble child of the Most High God, going unto Him every day as Father. And just as you enjoy His words of love and grace towards you in Jesus Christ, and you enjoy the fact that He hears your cry, He inclines His ear unto you, He comes to you and He cares for you and helps you and teaches you, just so, your responsibility is to reflect Him towards your children. Now, on the one hand, we might say, well, this is a high calling then, Pastor. This sermon is a hard sermon already. Who is sufficient unto these things? But on the other hand, and I think the much better way, a good way to look at it is like this. You do know God as your Father. You do know His love and grace through Jesus Christ. You know the gospel of your salvation. And so what we are talking about here is not merely some heavy burden of responsibility. But when we look at all of this and the calling we have, when we look at it through the lens of the gospel, knowing our own salvation in Jesus Christ, then we indeed say, this is a privilege to be called to this office and to know that God will supply all my need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. This is a great privilege. Yes, there's occasion for repentance every day. Indeed, yes, there is occasion for prayer every day to be on my knees. But this is a great privilege and opportunity to have this position to reflect, by God's grace, His love as my Father and towards my child in my position as Father. It's a high responsibility. But as a responsibility given to us by God, it's also a great privilege. We pause that. With that, that's the first point of the sermon. And ye fathers, the high responsibility. Well, moving on, what then is this calling that God gives to fathers? Well, in the text, it really comes to us as a twofold calling. First, provoke not your children to wrath. And then second, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And what I would like to do this morning is actually treat those two things in opposite order. First, the calling is provoke not your children to wrath. And then second, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'd like to start with the second half first. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think we could tweak that translation. A different translation for us would perhaps be more helpful. Because I think the word nurture in verse 4 is really in the wrong spot. What the text is really saying is this. Nurture them. Bring them up. That is, nurture them in the discipline, in the chastening and admonition or instruction of the Lord. So there's three things we need to look at. Bring them up. Nurture them. In the nurture or discipline. And admonition of the Lord. So first of all, bring them up. That's the calling of fathers. Nurture them. The positive calling here is nourish your children and cherish your children. It's actually very striking because the word that the apostle uses here in verse 4 in the King James where it says bring them up, the word there is the very same word the apostle uses in chapter 5, verse 29. Chapter 5, verse 29, we read, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. And that word nourisheth in verse 29 is the same word as bring up. It's the word nurture. So fathers, the calling is this, nourish your children. Nourish your children just like you nourish or you nurture your own bodies. Right? Just as Jesus nourishes or nurtures His church, just as a husband is called to nourish his wife, just as a man cares for his own body, this is your calling towards your children. Nurture them. And it's easy to understand. Just as a gardener tends to his garden and waters it and fertilizes it, just as a farmer tends to his animals and cares for them, just as a businessman, in a sense, tends to his business and cares for it, so you tend to your children. That is, create an environment, a loving environment that is conducive to the healthy spiritual and emotional growth of the children. Be tender. Be tender to your children. Understand them. Give them attention. Be gentle. Be sympathetic. Fathers, nurture your children. Bring them up like a gardener tends to a sapling that's growing in the greenhouse or in the garden. And where does this start? Well, it starts in your relationship with your wife. That's really the progression here. Even in the book of Ephesians, nourish and cherish your wife. Take care of that first. That's the calling of husbands. And when you do that, and really only when you do that, are you going to be going in the right way when it comes to nurturing your children? That's really the blueprints, right? This is how we are approaching this series of sermons. It builds on each other. And the reality is, if you think you can be nurturing and loving towards your children while hating your wife, the reality is, you're only provoking your children to wrath. We'll look at that in the second part of this second point of the sermon. But the point is, show your children the love between Christ and His church. Nurture your children by reflecting that marriage relationship, striving to reflect it in your relationship with your wife. That's where it starts. Really, the word bring them up has this idea. Prepare them for living as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Prepare them for living as part of the body of Christ. Equip them, train them through the word and through your calling. Furnish them in every area of life so that they are equipped for living faithfully in the kingdom of God. That's the positive calling. And then second, the text says, bring them up in the nurture. And the word nurture could be translated as discipline or chastening. The idea really of the word is this, training through repeated appropriate punishments. That sounds negative, but that's the idea. Maybe you know the words of Hebrews 12, verse 6, right? For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And that word chasteneth is actually the same word here in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Bring them up in the nurture. Nurture, chastening. Fathers are to bring up their children in the chastening. And then we'll see admonition of the Lord. Again, this is how fathers are called to reflect the loving Heavenly Father in their relationship with their children. But now notice how the apostle is framing this language. He says, nourish the child in the chastening of the Lord. So the point here is not simply beat your child. That's not the idea of chastening. The point is not whip that child into shape. That's not biblical. That's not how God deals with His children, is it? If that's how we think, that's really the attitude of a proud man. Because the issue really is this. Is that how I think God deals with me? Right? God whips me into shape and now I take it. I can take it when God whips me into shape and therefore I'm going to treat my child the same way. No. Really? You think God is a God who's cruelly whipping you into shape? Well, then you don't even begin to fathom just how tender God actually is with His children. Because if God wasn't tender with you in all His dealings with you, you would have perished a long time ago. And so you need to learn some humility here. So the point is not simply beat the child, but the point is nurture. Nourish the child and do it with discipline, with chastening, with those repeated appropriate acts of discipline. The point is, it's love and it's spiritual tenderness. And it's the spiritual care of your child that moves you in the disciplinary act of chastening your children. That's the motivation we have in physically disciplining our children. We want to nourish them. We want to love them and bless them. We want to lead them in the right way. And to do so, right? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will save him. So we need discipline for that. And what that simply means then is this. Seek with your discipline. Seek that all of their life comes under the order of God's word so that they learn the joy of obeying God. They learn the joy of obeying God and they learn the pain and the misery of walking in sin. Right? Teach them that the way of sin is hard. That's what we're doing with the discipline. We're preparing them for life as a child of God. That the way of God is the way of joy and happiness. And the way of sin is hard. This is the calling of fathers. Fathers, nurture your children in the discipline of the Lord. And then third, still emphasizing here the positive, the text says, and admonition. Nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. And the word admonition here means instruction. It means to put to the mind. Train your child by word. Either it be a word of encouragement or a word of reproof or blame where that's required, but train them with reproof. The word admonition then means that you speak to your child in such a way that he or she is taking what you're saying to heart. It's like what Solomon is doing over and over again in the book of Proverbs. My son, hear my words. That's admonition. My son, do not forget my law. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. That's the word admonition here. And so the point here, as we keep looking at these words, is that chastening and admonition go together. It's like the phrase, the rod and reproof. That's really what the apostle is saying here, using slightly different words. Nurture up your children in the rod and reproof of the Lord. So we have to warn our children. We have to talk to them about the folly of dishonoring parents. We have to talk to them about the folly of bad friendships. We have to talk to them, as Solomon does, about the folly of following the strange woman. It leads to poverty and death. And we have to talk to them about how they need to exalt and prioritize wisdom in their lives. You know the truth. Live according to it. Don't be lazy. Don't be quick-tempered. Don't be deceitful. We have to talk to them about all these things. And at the heart of all our nurturing is this. We have to bring them to Christ and impress upon them the realities of who they are in Christ, how they need Christ, and what their calling is in Christ. My child, you are a child of the Most High God. The lines have fallen unto you in places large and fair. God, the maker of heaven and earth, has sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. And now, my child, God calls you to honor him by living in the way of his word. God calls you to live a holy life serving him and not serving sin. And now, my child, we all have sinful natures. We all have that old man of sin. But in Christ, we also have the new man. And now in the midst of this fallen world, we're called to live out of that new man. And it's that living out of the new man that I'm called to train you in. As your father. Now here's the thing too. My child, I have an old man of sin too. And I'm also a new man in Jesus as well. It's the same thing with your mother. It's the same thing with your brothers and your sisters and your classmates. And in the midst of all these relationships, God is calling us, live out of the new man and live unto him. And it's my calling as your father to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then we talk to our children about repenting of our sins, right? Turning from our sins. We talk to them about confessing them honestly and openly and freely. And then we talk to them about looking to the Lord for forgiveness asking God to forgive our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. He who bore the punishment for us so that we might be spared. And then we can also talk to our children about the consequences of sin, so that even when we are sorry and we do repent, there are nevertheless still consequences, because the consequences itself is still part of the training, teaching us that the way of sin is hard, so that we take it to heart. And then we talk to our children about how we need to be motivated by thankfulness and love for God in our Christian walk. And then we take our children by the hand and we take them to the Lord in prayer, so that together, as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we turn to the Lord for the help and the grace we need to live faithfully as his children here below. That's what the passage is talking about. That's God's calling for fathers. Fathers here this morning, that's for you to do. That's your blessed privilege. Well, that's the positive. Now the negative is this, as the apostle puts it in the first half of the text, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's the negative. And that's the challenge, isn't it? That's kind of the context for everything we just looked at. Because the reality is, this is something that easily happens, isn't it? It's something we're inclined to do. We provoke our children to wrath. And the idea there with the language is this: we exasperate our children. Don't exasperate your children to wrath. Don't treat your children in a sinful way so that you make them feel wrongly treated, so that they are being wrongly treated by you. And so then you make them bitter and angry. I think the idea is pretty straightforward. We have sinful natures. We recognize that. And in our sinful natures, we're not always nourishing and cherishing or loving those whom God has put really close to us in our lives as we ought. We can so easily be selfish in our interactions with our children. We can so easily be hypocritical, act hypocritically in our interactions with our children. We can be inconsistent with our children, so that one day maybe we are giving them very harsh punishment for their sin, and yet on another given day we're laughing at their sin. What's that? And they are confused. And it becomes very clear in those moments, is my father even loving me at all? Because in his discipline, it seems he's acting only out of selfish motivation. His love is just for himself here. And that provokes children to bitterness and resentment, especially when the preaching is saying, do it unto the Lord, live your life for the Lord. Again, I think the meaning is obvious. The passage doesn't mean never anger your children. Obviously, there are times, many times, where we are lovingly disciplining and instructing our children and they do become angry with us. And that's because they have sinful natures, just like us. And they don't want to be nurtured in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, just like we act sometimes. But the meaning is this: you need to nurture your children with the love of God. Don't provoke them to anger. And that happens in a variety of ways. I've mentioned some already. It happens by inappropriate and excessive discipline. Right? You're not chastening them as God, your Father, chastens you. You're not patterning your behavior after him. You're doing it out of your sinful nature. Happens by inconsistent rules. Happens by showing favoritism towards certain children. I can't help but think of Jacob's family, right? All those sons, and yet there's Joseph in his coat of many colors. It's no wonder that the other children are mad at him. That's the poor behavior, the foolish behavior of the father. It also happens just in spoiling your child, so that you overindulge your child. You never teach your child to honor and respect authority. You never teach your child to work. You never teach your child to listen. And what happens? Well, maybe you're not provoking them to anger in the short term, but in the long term, that's what's happening. Because as they grow up to adulthood, their life as an adult is going to be a life filled with sinful anger and bitterness and resentment against authority. We provoke our children to wrath when we don't even communicate to them. We provoke our children when we are constantly criticizing them, right? We make jokes about our children. That happens sometimes, right? Parents mocking their children and humiliating them, that's provoking our children to wrath. And the text says, fathers, don't do that. Really, the language is this: stop doing that. Don't you know how damaging that is to God's children? Don't you know your children are going to struggle because how you act towards them powerfully influences, it impacts how they view God and how they view themselves. Don't hurt your children, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. And that language at the end of verse 4, of the Lord, means this: that the whole process of instruction, the whole process of discipline, must be according to what Jesus prescribes. It must be according to how Jesus would administer it. And it must be done in such a way that in the end, think about this, in the end, we should be able to say, it's not ultimately me nurturing and chastening and admonishing this child, but I am striving to submit so entirely to Jesus in how I'm doing this nurturing that I can even see it for myself that this child is really interacting with Jesus. Right? I'm not the ultimate authority here. And I'm not raising you according to my own whim. I'm not raising you to be the child I want you to be. God is your Father. Jesus is your Lord. God is your teacher. Jesus is your master. You are to heed His word and follow His commandments and trust in His love and walk in His ways. That's the calling of fathers. And what does that mean? It ultimately means this, that as fathers and as mothers too, as we're listening to this, and all of us, as we're applying this to our own circumstances and we see what our relationship to God needs to be, it ultimately means that we know our own need for the grace and the tenderness and the discipline and admonition of the Lord. It means for us as fathers that we do our work in the spirit of dependency upon God. It's that we're doing this work with humility. The humility found in Jesus Christ that we have in and through Christ. And really, if you want to look at the context of Ephesians, the context goes back to, well, there's the big context of the whole letter. This is who we are as members of the body of Christ, and we are equipped to walk this way. But in the more immediate context, Ephesians 5 verse 21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I don't know if this sounds strange to us as fathers, but that's what we as fathers are called to do towards our children. God has given you to me as a child, and I'm called to give myself up as your father so that you might be blessed and you might spiritually prosper through this place that God has given me in your life. So I'm submitting myself. I'm putting myself under you as I'm striving to be a blessing towards you. So that it means in everything we humbly depend upon the Lord, because this is not in me of myself. This is not my power. This is not my wisdom. It's the Lord's, right? This is the theme. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Lord, build the house. Even as you call me to be the instrument in your hand for the building of the home. Too often as fathers, we can lean on our own wisdom. Too often we can barge into a situation with all the answers ready at hand. We think we know the answer, and we're not approaching it with prayer and with a servant's heart. Too often we're unwilling to acknowledge our failings. But here too, in everything, as in everything, we must look to God. He's the one who's made himself my father. He's the one who deals so tenderly, so perfectly and wholesomely with me. He's the one who's nurturing and cherishing me daily. He's the one who's chastening me so perfectly He knows exactly how to lead me. And he's teaching me constantly, daily in his word. His fatherly love for me is so good and it's so sweet. And then we fall before him and we pray, Lord, give me to know more fully thy love for me in Jesus Christ. Give me to know thy love for me, and then give me the grace to reflect that love to my children. And give me the grace to point my children to Christ so that they might know personally his love for them. Congregation, may God bless us through godly fathers in the church. This is what he calls us to be in the privileged calling and blessed place we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless this preaching and strengthen us through it. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee that regardless of all our earthly circumstances, and this sermon hits some of us maybe differently than others, because we all have relationships in the home and family that are not perfect. And maybe for some of us fathers that we're not right or good. We thank thee that we have thee as our Heavenly Father. And we thank thee that even in this commandment we see how good thou art, how right thou art, and loving thou art with the commandments that thou dost give. These things are right, Lord. And we pray now with our calling, whatever that calling is, and for us as fathers who've heard this word, give us the grace to be faithful in the charge and station that thou hast given to us. May thy blessing rest upon us indeed. In Jesus' name we ask it, for it is through him alone that we have thee as our Father, and we know thy smile. Hear us for his sake. Bless his preaching to our hearts and lives. In his name we pray. Amen.